The third Sunday in Lent for year B continues our journey toward the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus with an episode that is not from Mark's gospel. From time to time during Lent and Easter, the church inserts a passage from the Gospel of John into year B so that we can hear important truths from that fourth gospel. Today we have the famous story of Jesus cleansing the temple. Now, you may have heard it that Jesus came among us to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. We hear many stories in the Gospels of Jesus giving comfort, and I must confess that it's easier to preach about Jesus the Comforter than Jesus the Challenger. But on this third Sunday of Lent, we are faced with a very challenging gospel. We're challenged to choose between the way of cheap grace and the way of costly grace. In this passage, John tells us twice that this event takes place in the temple at the time of the Jewish Passover. From Leviticus 23 and Exodus 12, we know that the Passover was the feast that commemorated the exodus from Egypt and the deliverance from Pharaoh, and it was celebrated each year in the spring, sometime around March or April. There is a connection then between the Passover and our own remembrance of this text during Lent. We too are in the process of preparing for the great Passover of Easter. So in the temple, Jesus encounters not his father's house, but a marketplace filled with sheep and oxen, sellers of doves, money changers, a privileged class of Jewish merchants who were there to grease the wheels of temple worship. Those coming to the temple to offer sacrifice could not use common Roman currency to purchase a suitable animal. They had to exchange their secular coins for temple coins in order to make a purchase. The money changers made a profit on this transaction. Some scholars think it may have been the money changers cheating the poor that evoked Jesus' anger. Others say it was simply his disgust at seeing the holiest place of Jewish worship turned into a place of commerce. But perhaps what lay at the heart of Jesus' indignation was that God the Father was being taken for granted. The merchants and money changers had worked out a comfortable arrangement between the worship of God and their own material need, perhaps even their own greed. If they were stealing from the poor or were placing their own material success ahead of God, they did so in disregard of the commandments we heard in the first reading. In their comfortable relationship with the temple, they had chosen the way of cheap grace. In contrast, Jesus models the way of costly grace. For a brief time, minutes, hours, we don't know exactly how long, temple worship was brought to a screeching halt. Without money changers, there could be no temple worship. Jesus had dared to substitute himself for the temple worship. He declares, "Destroy this temple," meaning his own body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up." And those whom he offended would do just that, destroy his body. In a few weeks, we will hear this evidence brought against him. By speaking truth to the money changers and being willing to accept the consequences of his actions, Jesus had chosen the way of costly grace. The terms cheap grace and costly grace were coined by the 20th century Lutheran theologian and minister Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was describing an attitude found among seemingly religious people, not only in the time of Jesus, but equally so today, an attitude that presumes a person can serve God without sacrifice. Bonhoeffer, who was ordained about the time that the Nazi Party came to power in Germany, was committed to making Christianity a reality in the world. Living the Christian life and not merely talking about it is the key to Bonhoeffer's message. Like Jesus in today's gospel, Bonhoeffer was committed to the truth and was willing to accept the consequences of his own integrity. He had this to say about cheap grace versus costly grace. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate, unquote. Costly grace is the grace that comes with the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great price that Jesus uses to illustrate the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 13. When you realize, truly realize, when you truly realize the gifts that Christ is offering through his church, you will do anything to get that treasure and to make the sacrifices needed to keep that treasure. The Catholic Church is the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl of great price. If you've never before thought of the Catholic Church as the pearl of great price, I invite you to realize that it is, for it certainly is. Embrace the Church, clutch it, hold fast to it, don't ever abandon it. Costly grace is the gospel proclaimed by our church, which must be profoundly heard and acted upon, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which we knock, the sacrifice that we must give. Such grace is costly because it causes us to follow. It calls us to follow. It is the grace that calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. Cheap grace is the concern for the pastor of any parish. Cheap grace is characterized by an attitude which treats the church like a 7-Eleven convenience store, a place for a quick stop where we can pick up a little grace before hurrying on to other more important things. One comes to church at the last minute, not dressed in your Sunday best for God, and leaving at the first possible minute to head for the parking lot. Cheap grace does not involve sacrificial giving, but rather just puts a few bucks into God's tip jar so as to buy hell insurance. Cheap grace is coming by each week to receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist, but never reaching out to volunteer, to help out, or to give of yourselves your time, your talent, or your treasure. Cheap grace presumes that the church and its ministers must be there for me, even though there is little sacrifice or commitment on my part. My friends, we want to stay away always, always from cheap grace. Costly grace is what every Christian is called to, for it is the life of Christ. Costly grace calls for sacrifice involving body, soul, and spirit. It demands that we live the truth, declare the truth, and be willing to accept the consequences. Jesus Christ is the true source and best model for costly grace. But recent times have given us additional models of costly grace. We think of Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was assassinated on March 24, 1980, because of his concern over human rights abuses in his opposition to the military regime in El Salvador. Or we might think of Sandra Merritt, who was the undercover investigator working alongside David DeLeiden of the Center for Medical Progress, who in 2015 exposed the traffic of aborted babies parts by Planned Parenthood. DeLeiden and Merritt were sued by the 1.9 billion giant, who argued that, among other things, that they illegally recorded and aired conversations with Planned Parenthood. David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt had to fight for their very lives, physically, emotionally, and financially, for exposing the grave evils of Planned Parenthood. And we think of that Lutheran minister, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer opposed Hitler and the Third Reich from the very beginning. In July 1939, Bonhoeffer was in New York City, where he could have sat out the war in complete safety. He chose instead to return to Germany, where he would actively oppose the great lie that was Nazism. Throughout the war, he was involved in the underground opposition to Hitler, including an unsuccessful coup attempt. Bonhoeffer was eventually arrested, and less than a month before Germany surrendered, he was executed. That is costly grace. We may not have to give our lives as Bonhoeffer did to experience costly grace. Little opportunities happen for us all the time, here in the parish or in the community. If we follow Christ, if we live lives of honesty and integrity in our families, at work and in our parish, if we stand up for the truth, then we can expect to suffer the consequences of costly grace. Yet in doing so, we experience a blessing. We gain new life. We gain life eternal. Bonhoeffer experienced the new life that comes with costly grace. A fellow prisoner described him as being all humility and sweetness. He always seems to diffuse an atmosphere of happiness, of joy in every smallest event in life. He was one of the very few men that I've ever met to whom God was real and close, unquote. When his executioners came for him, Bonhoeffer whispered to a fellow prisoner, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." Bonhoeffer expressed what we must all come to know, that to follow Christ on the way of costly grace is the beginning of life. May we choose the way of costly grace this Lenten season and throughout the rest of our lives.